B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. We were just looking at the defensive snap counts there, Zo.
Yep.
One guy we have not mentioned yet today, but I really have high hopes for. I think he has a high ceiling. Christian Barmore.
Yep.
He is a man. That is a big, big man with a lot of ability.
Who was the guy he took and threw yesterday? I think it was the one where Adrian Phillips came down and made one of the tackles, I think, on a third down late in the game, save you to get your ball back. I think Barmore wrecked someone in the backfield, either the guard or center.
I said just in the booth yesterday talking to Jim, I said they haven't drafted someone like this since, you know, you go back to Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
I said this is...
I'd say it's more like a Ty Warren type guy.
Yeah. Ty Warren's, I think, is a good comp.
Seymour's special.
We never felt that way about Malcolm Brown when they drafted him. The kid didn't have it. This kid... He's got it.
You got him and Judon in your front. Like those two guys, you got some anger up front. You get some nasty guys up there. That's good.
They need that a little bit. They've lacked that a little bit in recent years. Let's start this hour off with Paulie in the truck. He always likes talking a little good defensive line talk. What do you got there, Paulie?
So where in the hell were they that last series of downs when they knew they were running the ball right up the gut and they couldn't fill it up and smother that run? Man, that was perfect segue. What's one of my points today, Bird?
What a backbreaker. Just brutal.
Oh, my God. I can't believe how you just did a stuff him there and make him pass. But anyway, to start, Mac must have been screaming all the way home, the car, all the way to Dedham. And, I was just as angry as he was. I went to bed angry. I woke up angry. We gift-wrapped that one. You let that one get away. But it's on to the Black Crows, and I think I'll take my anger out of the Grateful Dead fans in the parking lot on Wednesday night. But I was at Red Robin before the game, handing out the last season tickets. I'm under doctor's orders, and I couldn't go to the game yesterday. I just sat there and had something to eat. A couple of beers and went home at halftime, but Zola is a beautiful Russian bartender that works at Red Robin. She's gorgeous.
What's that supposed to do for me?
T-Bone didn't even cue up the music today. Oh, man. Oh, my.
Doctor's orders can't go to the game, but you can go to Red Robin.
Red Robin
has beers and burgers.
I haven't been to Red Robin in a while.
Doctor, are you going to? Dr. Nick?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, I can't go to the game, but go have a burger there. Salt, sit at the bar.
Whatever. End of the game. Brutal. Paulie's right.
They're running the ball there. They allowed them to push them around at the end of the game to where all they had to do was take three snaps on the knee.
Mm-hmm.
That one sucked at the end. Like, they couldn't get a stop. They couldn't clog the middle.
Couldn't give themselves a chance.
I kept saying that a lot to Bob, and it's one thing that stands out is that you sit here and remember things from the broadcast. Too many 6 yards on first down.
Well, maybe the
second and four. Like, that's... Second and eight, it should be.
They could have been thrown off thinking that maybe Brissett was going to come into the game again and try and draw him offside. And that was quite a sequence.
Talk about why the other team was stupid on that one. Holy crap.
What are they doing?
He was trying to call the timeout. He was.
Brissett was.
Brissett had the hands up. He's trying to get the timeout. He didn't get it. So I think he lost sight of how much time was on the clock.
Well, was it a false start that he got called?
They got called for a false start.
They tried to draw him offside. It's one of their stupid linemen.
It would have been a delay of game. How their linemen moved. Either way, it was going that way. I think there was 1 second left on the clock.
He was going to get the timeout, which makes it even worse. He was going to get the timeout, but they called the penalty.
Give him credit. Both times they put him in to pick up the first down, he did his job there.
Yeah.
Why are you leaving him out there to try and for the trickery?
You overthink it. Like, we're going to get Bill and what Bill would get us on.
Would you at some point consider putting Jacoby Brissett in as the team's quarterback?
Not yet, no.
No, if Tua doesn't get better.
I mean, if you go like 4-5, yeah.
How is Miami feeling about Tua's interception if the Patriots punch one in on the turnover on the short field? How are they feeling about Tua today in Miami?
Not good.
Yeah. At some point, they might get there. I don't have a lot of faith in Tua. The Patriots have a better Alabama quarterback. Matt in Scituate has some thoughts on that. Hi, Matt.
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Tua Tagovailoa, I think, might be the most overhyped quarterback I've seen in my lifetime, at least. And I think his terrible play helped Mac Jones's game. Help Mac Jones look spectacular, because Tua Tagovailoa is horrible. He looks like he's afraid to throw the ball. We knew that coming out of college. He had injury concerns. He looks like he's made of glass. He looks fast too, but I just don't like Tua. I've never have, and I think he's overhyped.
I don't think Tua's poor play made Mac Jones look good. Mac Jones could have played, pick whoever had the best quarterback performance in the league yesterday. Mac was still going to stand on his own as having a good day, completing nearly 75% of his passes. Did you hear this statistic about his completion percentage yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That Mac Jones...
He's one of four, right? In NFL history? One of four?
That's not what I was going to give you.
Okay.
I was going to give you a better one than that if I could find it again from... Boston Sports Inf. Here it is. Boston Sports Inf had it right after the game. Mac Jones has the highest completion percentage at 74.4% of any rookie quarterback making their first NFL start in the history of the NFL. Minimum 25 passing attempts. Most accurate day ever for an NFL debut. Mac Jones. He stands alone.
Yeah.
Brent in Shrewsbury.
Oh, boy.
Okay, guys. On the bright side, Mac is a calculator. Loved Mac. So the biggest reason I think we lost the game, though, is, for one, when Trent Brown goes down, you lose one of your five starters on the O-line, but you lose, like, one-third of the weight, so that doesn't help. And the run defense, I don't know. I thought the run defense was porous, to say the best. It was porous. I mean, I don't know how we held them to 17 points, like, watching the game, because the corners didn't look great, but honestly, I felt like the middle of the field coverage and the run defense was a problem. And having a 17-point defensive game without Gilmore, how many more of these are we going to get? So, back to the bright side, arm looks plenty strong to me. Like, you want Jay Cutler, or a guy that has enough strength but can just precision pour it in?
No, I don't want to be Jay Cutler.
What I mean. I mean, just, you want a guy that can just throw it through the effing goalpost, or do you want Mac Jones, who has plenty of juice?
Oh, I get what you're saying. Precise. I get what you're saying, that arm strength in and of itself is overrated, and I would agree with that. A more accurate passer is more important than a guy who can throw it through the goalpost. Jamarcus Russell, famously.
He could throw it 77 yards.
From his knees.
Yes.
What did it mean?
Nothing.
It didn't mean anything. I do get the criticism of Mac Jones sort of throwing it with a high arc to the boundaries. Not being able to throw one of those, lasers out there. And it is very smelly in here right now at this moment. We're all very distracted by it, so thank you for that. Good God. What'd you eat? Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50.
Coleslaw.
What is with the coleslaw? You did this in the booth yesterday, too. Sounds of Sunday, 12:50, go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fans.
fans are electrified. Tango Bailoa takes the snap from the 25, drops back, rears back, throws a long ball down the left side for Waddle, and he makes the catch, landing inside the 45. Waddle with an answer from the Dolphins on a strike from Tango Bailoa over Jonathan Jones.
Patriots lose yesterday. They win in the sense that they have found their quarterback, and they should feel good about having a quarterback, something they've been lacking for some time now, the last year. They've got a guy who can throw the football again. Routinely throw the football. Make throws when needed. Put the ball into tight windows when needed.
Read a blitz.
Adjust the protection.
Get it to the hot route.
Yes, all of those things. He looked and played the role of NFL quarterback.
He didn't panic. He didn't panic. That's the most impressive thing for me. Like, there's going to be like a series or two where the kid's going to panic.
But as far as the loss itself goes, this is a bad loss. I think it's easy to overlook that because it's week one and there are still 16 games ahead of us on this schedule.
It's bigger than that. This could come down to this week where you're sitting there week 17 and we're talking about, are you hosting a wild card game or you have to go on the road?
Are you going to be a wild card team or be out of it?
Or maybe you just be out of it because you couldn't beat Miami at home in week one. You had the ball inside the 20 and you couldn't beat Miami at home. That hasn't sunk in yet. I think we're still excited about the kid. Like, I'm torn here. I'd be in a bad mood today. I'm not in a bad mood today. Normally, that type of law, I'd be in an awful mood today. I'm torn. It's like two different things pulling me apart. And one of the win, devastating loss. But boy, he got something with the kid.
Sean in Weymouth on Mac Jones's performance. Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
First of all, you guys are really giving Mac Dane a lot more credit than he deserved.
Okay.
Okay,
you,
why?
Tell me why he didn't.
The one touchdown drive that they did have, he got sacked on third down to put him probably out of field goal range, and they came up with a bogus roughing the passer call.
I called that. Said on the broadcast. Awful call.
Awful call. So, in reality, he shouldn't have even got him in the end zone.
What about everything else he did? As far as reading the blitz, setting protections, changing everything, accuracy.
The biggest part of the game, which everybody had a problem with Cam was not getting in the end zone. Well, Cam scored 43 points and 24 points against the same Miami team last year. Mac scored 16 and 7 was against.
You would want Cam back over this, what you saw yesterday.
I would have waited. I think, would have won that game yesterday.
He was addressing you, Zoe. He called specifically to speak with Zoe. He believes Cam would have won the game yesterday.
I don't know. Based on what?
Cam having success running the football in the red zone against Miami last year.
Yeah, in the first game. How did he do in the second time he faced Miami? Mm.
Not good.
Okay, so they figured that out.
He was 15 of 19 in that first game.
I don't know. I thank you for calling the show and listening to the show. I don't know how you make that call today after what you saw yesterday.
You ran in twice.
Yeah. Are there any stories written or anybody that was at the game or covering the game or reporting neutrally on a game, maybe for like the league network or anybody that said, the kid's not that good. He didn't have that great a day.
I'll give you this.
Give me one negative take from Jones yesterday by anybody.
Give me Mac Jones to get you down into the red zone, and then if Cam Newton were there, right, maybe they would have had a little more success. I'll grant you that, but Cam's not moving the ball down the field like
he's not moving,
was able to.
And Cam's not moving that well to begin with. Like, he doesn't want to run anymore. He stated that. I don't want to be a battering ram. And then you put him in downside of 10 where everything tightens up. Guess what? So do the passing windows. Now it's harder to throw down in there. So that's
But to think that he'd be able to carry the ball in himself, I mean, this is...
We're still living in the past here.
This is the guy who, by his own admission, made it easier for them to cut because he had to go see this other doctor and get a second opinion on something that is still bothering him. Oh, is it bothering him? No, nothing bothered me. I just want a second opinion. Who gets a second opinion on something when there's nothing wrong?
Yeah, 3 days off.
What do you... So I got to believe there's something wrong with him on top of the decision to go out of town. So, but Cam Newton would have been the guy to get the ball in the end zone for you, even though he couldn't do it the second time they played Miami last year. And also, he's hurt. No, I'm not hurt. I just went for a second opinion because they're fun. They're fun to go to fly out of state to see doctors. I'm not knocking Cam. I just don't think I don't think it's reasonable to think that Cam wins that game yesterday.
I don't know how you have that take after what you saw yesterday. Kid was given multiple situations.
I mean, what did freaking eyes passed. Tell you? Did you watch that? Did you see what he could do?
Again,
what he's capable of?
Show me one article or coverage piece that said he didn't have a good day.
They would not have been able to call a dozen plays that they ran yesterday with Cam Newton as their quarterback. They wouldn't have been able to. There would have been no hope for Cam Newton to deliver the football.
Did you see what Miami was doing on the right side? Where they were walking guys up during the snap count, and then they were just taking one guy out, putting the next guy in, they're rotating guys, just moving around, trying to confuse him where the mic is. That would have been an issue. I'm not telling you that. He told you that. Meaning Cam. Cam told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He struggled with that.
Alan in California. Hi, Alan.
I'm happy. You guys happy?
Hey, we're not happy. No. They lost.
Happy with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I know. But Bill is not going to take the authoritarian way this time. He's going to be a little more soft-mannered. He's going to right the ship. This coaching staff, this team, and then keep the guys on the field. It's going to be good. We're over the hump. We're coming. We're on the way back, guys. I'm psyched. I'm in Breckenridge, by the way. Who wouldn't be psyched being up here at 9,500 feet? Have a good one.
Yeah. Cam and Taunton on the game yesterday. Hi, Cam.
Wait, what about Breckenridge?
What about it? Hi, Cam.
Guys, you know, I heard a guy call earlier and say, like, oh, everyone will take it easy. It's like, no, like, it's not the old days where you're just going to cruise to 11 or 12 wins here. And not only that, three teams that you could very well be battling for playoff position with, Buffalo, Tennessee, and Cleveland, all lost. There was an opening there. And you didn't take Miami at home, and you blew it because your running back fumbled inside the five. Everybody should be excited about Mac. I'm not disputing that. And that's the bigger picture thing. But if you're worried about the playoffs this year, that was a massive loss yesterday.
I don't know why more people don't see that. And I also would say, in addition to what Cam just said, look at the schedule coming up. So the Jets game is now a must-win type of situation for the Patriots in week two, which is insane. That doesn't happen very often. But we're at a point where I don't think you could take wins for granted. That's what Cam's major point was there. You can't take wins for granted. You can't look at the schedule and say, well, they're going to beat this team or they're going to beat that team. They didn't beat the Dolphins week one. And a lot of people had them pegged to win that game. A lot of people also said they could actually open up 3-0. Dolphins, Jets, and Saints? How did the Saints look after yesterday?
It looks like they're going to be a problem now in week three.
How the Buccaneers look so far, week four?
Well, those Cowboys look.
You know what that is.
Those Cowboys look.
How about the Cowboys? How'd they look? You get that coming up week six.
It's like you're forecasting. You look ahead, like, can they get to 3-3 through six? Then you sort of get to your soft part a little bit.
There's no soft.
There's no
penciling in of wins.
I don't think weeks 8 and 9 are soft weeks. At Chargers, at Panthers. I don't see those as soft games.
You should be favored in us.
I don't know that you will be.
You were favored yesterday.
Maybe against the Panthers. I don't think they're going to be favored against the Chargers.
The schedule all of a sudden looks a lot tougher. See what the loss does to you.
How are the Browns? I mean, the Browns are a good team. A lot of people picking them to go deep in the playoffs or even the Super Bowl.
Titans, will they hit you in the mouth? How about
Falcons,
the Bills?
The Falcons are, we'll see. I don't know. That's a big question mark.
Yeah, we got
Titans look like garbage yesterday.
We got soft spots weeks 13 and 16. The Bills, they stink.
Is it week 17? We'll get ready for week 17 against the Jaguars.
They're buying so week what? 14.
That's weeks soft. 2, 7, and 17. That's Jets, Jaguars. What else is a soft game for the Patriots? You can't take any of these for granted. Can't do it. Can do it.
Yeah.
Won't do it. I don't know. dropping one at home in the division.
Tough game.
You're fumbling it away with a couple of bad turnovers yesterday.
Tough schedule now.
Bad turnovers, penalties, undisciplined team. Where's the coaching? Where's Bill? His teams aren't supposed to look like this. Hardy has our headlines. Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But still, what it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Sounds of Sunday coming up next segment. But right now, we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's Chase Winovich. Chase is calling in for New England Dairy Patriots game day because every day is game day. When you add dairy to your day, it helps you sustain energy and fuel performance across all four quarters of the day. Real life needs real dairy. And if you could punch him up there on the board, T-Bone, that would be much appreciated. Chase Winovich, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Welcome back.
It's great to be back on this fine Milk Monday.
How much milk do you drink during the day? Because you have like blonde hair, white teeth, you know? You got that Fabio look.
I can't believe
it's not butter. Yeah.
I guess so.
All right, Chase, well, coming off what was a tight game yesterday, what's sort of your biggest takeaway from a defensive perspective as to what you guys got to do better next time around?
I'd say the biggest thing is it just wasn't enough. We did some things really well, but at the end of the day, they scored more points than us. So as a team, as a unit, we got to go back, look at the tape, focus on our fundamentals, have better focus, have better discipline, work harder. Just across the board, everyone's got to just got to be better. And, you know, it's a competitive league. Dolphins had a great team, and we just got to be better.
Chase, you know, we've been talking today how it's tough to wrap your head around a game like this because watching it, it seems like you guys – played better. As a defense, you played well. You held the opponents to a reasonable number of points. The offense moved the ball well. As you're experiencing and playing in the game, did you have that same sense that you were playing better? And then when it's all said and done, you kind of scratch your head and say, how did we lose that thing?
Yeah, you could have opinions and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, the eye in the sky don't lie, and the numbers don't lie either. And the only stat that matters is a win or a loss. And they got the W. So, like I said, we just got to be better. And individually, I just focus on what I can do and how I can improve. And so not much changes on that front, obviously. But it's just a matter of getting to work and, yeah, just being better. And these things can either – I see it like a slingshot. They could pull you back, take a step back, look at what we're doing, you know, where we went wrong, make those necessary adjustments and come back and do it better than ever. So that's what we're going to work on.
They got a different coordinator in Gotze, and you know, Chan Gailey was there before. Did you notice a different flow to the game, you know, that they sort of kept you guys uneasy as far as mixing it up? Did you notice any big difference based, maybe throwing a Wildcat in there a little bit? Were you expecting that?
Yeah, there were some changes. We knew going into the game that with them having a bye week, with it being the first game of the year, that there was surely going to be some things that we hadn't prepared for. But this all goes back to what I was saying earlier, just trying, you know, people talk about controlling what they can control, but, you know, usually those things are very vague. But, you know, for me personally, and I obviously cannot speak for the team, but I think this is just my process and just like focusing on the fundamentals and focusing on the basics that put us in the right positions to win. And then, you know, as those things unfold, as they come out in different looks, like the Wildcat or they adjust for, you know, having people out because of COVID or this or that, it's like things are going to change. It's like they're a smart team. They make adjustments just like we do. And it's just a matter of being better and adjusting on the fly. And obviously it wasn't enough.
Chase, how are things in Portsmouth? You obviously like Portsmouth, New Hampshire very much. So much so that you tagged it in your Instagram post the other day on something that seemed completely unrelated to Portsmouth, which was being ready to play a football game. Hashtag Portsmouth. What's up with that?
I for one, am a huge fan of Portsmouth. So
why?
That's a phrase that doesn't get uttered a whole lot.
Yeah, we don't hear that a lot around
it's
here.
It's like you should work for the Chamber of Commerce there or something. Like,
hey, I love Worcester. Yeah.
I definitely should get paid. But honestly, I think there's different forms of currency. Obviously, I've spoken on this one before, but money is one way to exchange energy, exchange, you know, pay somebody for their services. But, you know, another form I don't know, just the, you could, it's an energy you could feel when you're up there. I always relate it to the fact that Teddy Roosevelt, of all the places, you know, I love history. Teddy Roosevelt, 1912, of all the places he could have chosen America, he chose Portsmouth to bring the Russians and the Japanese to settle a conflict that they had. And after like 10 days, they couldn't come to a conclusion on what, you know, what to do. They were bitter enemies. They went out in the town of Portsmouth for a week. And after, you know, a week or so, they came back together and they're like, hey, listen, like, what are we even fighting about? There's things and issues that are way bigger that we have to put our time and effort into. And ultimately, it was the only foreign war and foreign peace treaty settled on U.S. soil. And as I always say, these things are either by accident or on purpose. And, you know, I don't think it's, after my experience up there, I don't think it's by accident. It's located in an awesome location. Yep. These people are super passionate. They represent New Hampshire in this really cool light where it's like you have this wave of, you know, it's like these individuals that are proud of themselves, but also proud to be part of this community. And this duality, I think, is something that is lacking, you know, across the board with some people. It's like people think that, you know, they could just move into their houses and isolate themselves from everybody else. But I don't think it's that simple. So, yeah, big fan of Portsmouth.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt, famous for saying, speak softly and carry a big stick all the way to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They cut off the last part of that slogan, but it's always about Portsmouth with Teddy. I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't know.
What do you guys think of Portsmouth?
I'm a fan. I've been there a number of times. I've always enjoyed it.
I've spent more time thinking about Portsmouth and New Hampshire in the last 30 seconds than I have of the lifetime total.
They have fireworks up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think they're legal, and they got to be legal in New Hampshire.
Oh, they are. Yeah, there's four locations.
It's New Hampshire.
I go to Atlas.
There we go. It is a nice place, but it's, you know, I don't know that Portsmouth is the best representation for the state of New Hampshire. It's the place I would prefer to be.
Well,
Portsmouth
sounds like fighting words for Chase.
But I don't know that it's similar to the rest of the state. I would say Portsmouth has a real Massachusetts vibe to it.
I got a question regarding the flyover yesterday. I can't tell you how much my phone lit up from friends or people going to the game or watching. Will there be a flyover? Will there be a flyover? You guys, as a player, like, I always got excited for the flyovers. Then I said, wow, that's a lot of gas. That's a lot of jet fuel they're using just to move those big planes around. Any thoughts on the flyover?
Have you gone green lately?
It get you fired up, Chase? Or did you say, wow, that's a hell of a lot of metal up there in the sky?
Yeah, I try to bring my own juice to all the games, but I tell you what, you see that flyover, that had me psyched up. It's crazy. It's crazy what mankind can do when they put their mind to stuff, and the fact that we mimicked a freaking bird and had these military jets flying overhead. Had me pumped up. Had me excited.
Another Teddy Roosevelt quote, "EGAD, Iron Bird," famous for saying that.
See, look at that. The man knows his quotes.
I made that one up. You selling anything? Yeah, after you move the dog treadmill,
yeah,
you got
any weird items from your house?
Up on the Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist.
Yeah, I actually
snow tires.
I sold a Roomba. Portion of the proceeds obviously went to charity. I signed it, so it's probably the only. I said this only on a portion. Twitter. I said,
You got to recoup the cost of the Roomba. Those things aren't cheap.
Mr. eBay.
Did you buy the Roomba?
They're expensive. Yeah.
Oh, you bought it.
Okay. Roomba, but my dog Zeus. He did not like it. He was not a fan.
Oh yeah,
of the Roomba. He went berserk and he would like pounce on it and stuff, and he would think it was trying to attack me. He's quite the guard dog.
But that's it. There's nothing else for sale right now.
What about your Mazda Miata?
That's it. Honestly, no. My Mazda is my Miata is leased, but my Miata is leased. But you might want to think about
buying that. You know, chip shortage, hard to get vehicles right now.
Sure is.
If you want to continue driving the Miata, you might have to hang on to that one.
That's true. I also have a truck though, so I'm in good shape on the car department. Honestly, I'm just focused on football right now. It's like I don't have any time to be selling stuff. It's like this is a full time job. And I'm loving it, but just is obviously a lot of work.
All right, Chase.
All right, Chase.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Chase. Milk Monday.
Good luck against the Jets, buddy.
Happy Milk Monday. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you, pal.
Portion of the proceeds. Why'd you have to do that?
Only a portion.
Pretty good question.
Why is this a fair follow-up, I thought?
Hardy selling his clubs is used golf clubs to charity, but he had a portion.
Yeah. But I said only a portion. Hardy had that thing where his head jerks forward.
What did I?
There he goes. Oh God!
Only a portion.
I'm talking about a professional athlete here selling a vacuum.
Well, that's just it. I figured
he got it for free.
Okay.
Like, promotionally.
All right. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, an autographed Chase Winovich Roomba went for, let's say, a fair estimate, that would be
$1,500, $35,000.
All right. I don't think he'd be out of line in saying, you know what, I'm going to donate $34,700 to the charity, but keep the $300 I spent on the Roomba. I think that's fair.
Did you guys see the new Dyson ball? The vacuum, though?
No, I haven't kept up on the latest.
If he actually sold
vacuums.
One of those?
Is it energy efficient?
No.
Because you seem very confused.
No, it's a vacuum
very
that works.
I'm concerned with that lately.
Since when the hell do you care about gas?
AZOC and his Green New Deal.
All of a sudden, you start talking about a flyover. You respond to somebody with a flyover. You'll get AOZ. I like that.
AZOC.
Yeah. Somebody else. Cows?
Hey, Zoe, you better stop eating steak, bro. Yeah.
Oh, I love steak. I will not stop eating steak. I'm thinking about buying a cow right now. I swear to God I am. I'll buy a cow to save money on meat.
Call Winovich. You might have a guy up in Portsmouth.
Somebody in that sales pen right now should be going to the goportsmouthnh.com people and saying, hey, you owe us money.
Yes.
Yeah. For the segment we
Portsmouth
just did.
Portsmouth is a great place to live, visit,
never
whatever.
Never been there.
Oh,
I just,
really?
Never been there.
Oh, that's a really nice
Why
area.
Would I go to Portsmouth?
It's a good town.
I just wasn't expecting to do 11 minutes on it today. That's, you know.
He keeps talking about it.
He loves it.
He keeps talking about it. Sounds of Sunday are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Sounds of Sunday.
So pretty. So pretty. So pretty. So pretty.
Tribute to Macroform.
Thank you so much for that.
The plays I talk about you.
I listened to the whole song. The whole song. It gets so much weirder. He's sneaky, can't sing at all. And then lyrically, it's like,
your friends, not really friends. Crazy.
He must have a great agent that sold those songs
to the
hold systems, the telco systems in major businesses.
All right, let's get the pocket
in there. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, football. Good morning to you.
Let's move on these. What better way to start the Sounds of Sunday than when a couple of old favorites, Cardinals Radio. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Ron Wolfley.
Chandler Jones, fifth sack of the day. Here's the call.
Tannehill on fourth down. Hit and sacked. It's Chandler Jones. Five sacks on the day for 55. Chandler Jones making some money.
Oh, once again, right now, you could not find one hair on Ryan Tannehill's back because it has been thoroughly waxed by the professor who's got the PhD in back waxing. Chandler Jones with his fifth sack. On Ryan Tannehill, are you kidding me?
No electrolysis needed. He brought the wax, he brought the strips, he brought the little wooden stick to mix the wax and apply the wax to the back.
It's a lot of back waxing.
I'm nuts.
What's he into?
I'm nuts. And Bob knows that.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson!
Like, Sosie knows I'm nuts, but like, if I would say that, Bob would look at me with like I had two heads. Like, he knows what to expect from me. This play-by-play guy that works with Wolfley, was like, where did you get that one?
Well, Wolfley was also very excited about Kyler Murray's performance yesterday.
Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Fires right side of the end zone. Back shoulder. Kirk adjusts beautifully and pulls it in for the touchdown. Christian Kirk with his second touchdown, and the Cardinals lead it 37-13.
Drop the spam into the can, baby. What a throw by Kyler Murray, and what a catch by Christian Kirk again. Oh, that was filthy.
What was the route? What part of the end zone? What was the coverage?
Beastie Boy is known to let the beat.
Drop the...
I understand what he's saying, though, because you take spam out of a can, and it's a certain shape.
No, but he said drop it. Into the can.
You gotta line it back up so it doesn't cut the spam off when you drop it on the edge.
Something tells me they don't drop the spam into the can when they package it.
Don't drop.
It's put in there as some sort of like gelatinous.
Gelatinous.
Mix.
Yeah.
Drop the spam onto the floor and now it's
filthy.
That's right.
Yeah, we should do spam sandwiches in here. One day.
I'm good.
Right, no, we'll fry it up.
Let's go to Bengals Radio. Joe Burrow. Huge fourth down conversion in overtime.
Wait a minute. I have no clue what happened, but this started. I saw the tweets. Trey Wingo from ESPN said, just ripping color analysts across the league for grunt moan. And Nick Ciumelli tweeted me. I'm like, our game hasn't started yet, pal, okay? That's at 4:30.
Okay.
This is the 1 o'clocker. Go ahead.
Burrow behind Hopkins. Everybody right up on the line for Minnesota.
Come off the ball, boys.
Burrow puts Boyd in motion. Goes back in the original direction. Burrow back to pass. Has time. Throws it downfield for Uzama. Oh, he has it at the 30, the 25, out of bounds at the 20-yard line. Woo. What a gutsy call by Cincinnati. And what a throw by Joe the Magician.
Mm-hmm. Joe the Magician. Oh, Dan Horde.
That play took balls.
Yeah.
That's what that play took. Credit to Cincinnati for that.
We're going to move to Houston. Old friend Danny Amendola. Touchdown in his first game with the Texans.
Here are the Texans. First and goal at the 8. Taylor shotgun. Johnson to his left now. David Johnson in motion to the right side. Two receivers, short side left. Here's the snap to Taylor. Pressure. Taylor throws underneath. Hits Amendola. Takes it across. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
Rock and roll, Amendola? Is that what he was going for?
I think so.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Rock and roll, Amendola.
That means he
should have said D-O-L-A, Dola.
That means he sat there last night, if he knew the anything. Night before in his home, and was going over, what things can I say?
If the
there
man knew That's, anything.
Yeah, well, he didn't know. We talked about this earlier. The Saints beat the Packers. Jameis Winston after the game talking about his preparation for week one.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
That's what Zoe referenced earlier.
What?
I just want to give him credit for something very special he said.
It obviously spoke to me. Be prepared. I think he was a Cub Scout leader.
Pretty sure he said, do a good job.
We have three Pats radio calls. You want to do them on the other side?
Yes, I do.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Headlines, and we'll get to the Patriots calls of the day next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.